As we gather around the written word and listen to the spoken word, may we meet with the living word, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Now, I wonder if you were here on the Sunday morning at the beginning of this year when Caroline painted this picture while I preached. Some of you were here, yeah? Some of you were here. A few hands waving at me. Caroline's in Portugal, so she's not painting again for us this morning, but I wanted to get the picture out again. That morning, I talked about, unsurprisingly, fire. I talked about a number of threads that had been coming together for us in the previous couple of months, giving me a sense of God giving us a heart for the lost in our communities. And of God doing that by building a fire, of a long-term vision for the growth of this church. Not because we want more people to come to our services for our sake, but for their salvation. And we picked up a phrase that comes from Paul's second letter to his protege, Timothy. And Paul writes, "Fan into flame the gift of God." Which we have in our flame banner, fan into flame. And as we thought about what it means to fan into flame the gift of God, we introduced a couple of prayer initiatives that we thought might help us to do that. We had Pray for Five. The idea was that each of us identified five people that we were going to pray for, that we were going to pray that they would come to know and follow Jesus. And we'd pray for these people in our intercessions, in our services, in our small groups, in our own prayer times at home. And the other one was prayer walks. Nick Brook had been organising prayer walks, and we decided we were going to do the whole parish, a section at a time. On the third Saturday of the month, some of us have met to walk and pray around the parish, praying for those who live in the places that we're walking to come to know Jesus, to come closer to Jesus. And then I finished off what I was saying that morning by asking if we really wanted a church on fire. Did we really want a church on fire? And I shared some of my answer to that question. I said, I do. I want this church on fire. I want this church on fire because I want it to be a beacon of hope in the darkness, a place of warmth and light, a place where people can find company, where there's good food that nourishes the soul. And most of all, a place where people encounter the holy fire of God, burning but never consuming. I don't know what that will look like. It scares me a bit, but I do want this church on fire. Will you join me in helping to build the fire and fan the flames? That's the question I asked at the beginning of the year. Will you help me in helping to build the fire and fan the flames? I wonder, is this ringing any bells for anybody? I wonder if you remember the sermon series that we went on to have, exploring the different aspects of God's fire. Now, the thing is, I know that for many of you, you weren't here because you are part of the fire that has been built since. If you have started coming along to All Saints since the beginning of this year, it has not been an accident. You are part of something that we have been praying for, that God has been doing as he has built and fanned the flames of this fire through this year. I fundamentally believe that. Now, as I said at the beginning of the service, today is the nearest Sunday to All Saints' Day. It's a day in the Christian calendar every year when we celebrate all those who have followed Jesus over the centuries and around the world, all the saints. We celebrate our common faith and commitment to follow Jesus' way. We celebrate this church and all that's good about it, its long history of proclaiming the gospel faithfully, of serving its community, of seeing people coming to faith. Now, The original plan was for us to have a confirmation service today. But Bishop Sarah is on sabbatical, and Bishop Michael couldn't come to lead the service until December. We are having a confirmation service in December, so that freed today up. And I thought, well, I wonder what we're going to do. Well, I've got to think up something to say now. Normally I'd leave it to the bishop on a confirmation Sunday. I've got to come up with something to say. But at the same time, we have been experiencing a lot of new folk joining us. Our fellowship is growing. And I started to think it would be a great opportunity to take a moment, take a morning, to notice that and to celebrate it. To remind ourselves of what we were thinking about and exploring at the beginning of the year. And I'd started thinking about this and started wondering what that might look like. And a couple of weeks ago, I received an email from a couple of local Christians who are very prayerful. They listen to God for the church in Telford. They have a real gift of prophecy. And they shared this prophetic sense that they had of something that God might be saying to all saints. It's time. It's time. And this is what they wrote to me. I felt myself inside All Saints. It was covered in and full of fire. I saw you in the midst of the fire, arms raised, calling to Jesus. People were busy around you and someone ran to prop the doors open. And in that same moment, I heard a birth cry from heaven. And one of the Bible passages that they shared with me that they had a sense God might be pointing us towards was that passage from Joshua that we heard read this morning. So we're going to have a look at it. Before we do that, it's important that we understand the context. What's happening? Because it's a very short read. What's been going on? Well, has anybody been here, been taking part in the rehearsals for Prince of Egypt? Yeah, a few of you? Good. Anybody seen the film Prince of Egypt? A few more of you. Well, this story is connected with the story of the Prince of Egypt. The people of God had been in slavery in Egypt. And God sends Moses, the Prince of Egypt, sends Moses to lead them out of slavery and into freedom in the promised land. So they leave Egypt behind, miraculously cross the Red Sea on dry land, and they head for the promised land. But when they get there, they are scared of the inhabitants of the promised land, and they refuse to go in. Instead, they wander around the desert for 40 years. And during that time, Moses, the leader who'd led them out of Egypt, the Prince of Egypt, he died. And his place is taken by a new leader, Joshua. And the book of Joshua that we read from this morning is the account of how Joshua led the people of God into the promised land. And we heard a few verses from the beginning of that journey. The people have crossed the River Jordan and have recommitted themselves to their covenant, to their relationship with God, which, for all the men, meant getting circumcised. That's what's just happened. There are three things from our reading this morning that I'd just like to encourage us to notice. Firstly, this place that this happened came to be called Gilgal. It sounds like the word for roll away. The difficult and painful things from the past have been rolled away. The stone has been rolled away. This is a place and a season of transition and new beginnings. It's a place of recommitment. Now, sometimes that is a painful process when stuff gets rolled out of the way, but it's an important step on the way to new life. Back at the beginning of the year, I talked about the need for us to maintain harmony through this year. I want to re-emphasize the importance of that. As we grow, as new relationships form, there are plenty of opportunities for folk to get upset or fall out. So let's be alert to that. Let's live out our values of loving each other, making space for each other. Let's continue to build a harmonious community that follows Jesus together. Second thing is, they celebrated the Passover together. The Passover meal celebrated that original day of freedom for the people of God 40 years previously. It was the Passover meal that Jesus celebrated with his friends the night before he died. It became our communion meal when we remember and celebrate the even greater freedom that Jesus won for us on the cross as we remember with the bread and the wine his body and his blood. This is a place where the things of the past have been rolled away. It's a place where we celebrate what Jesus has done to bring us into new freedom and new life. And thirdly, the manna stopped. You see, for all those years, those 40 years in the desert, God had provided for the people by the provision of miraculous food called manna that appeared overnight, every night. That wasn't needed anymore. From now on, the people would eat the fruit of the promised land. You see, it wasn't that God was going to stop providing for the people, just that the way that the provision would come would change. To be honest, I'm not entirely sure what the significance of this is for us, but it felt important to notice it. Maybe it's this. Maybe you feel like you've been wandering in the desert. There's been a sense that God has been there with you, providing for you. But now God is bringing you into the fellowship of the church, into a new place, and into a richer and more varied diet. Perhaps that's for you. The other reading I chose for this morning was one that we had at the service at the beginning of the year, that reading from Matthew's eyewitness account of Jesus' life. It's a familiar reading to many of us. It's a great summary both of Jesus' ministry and of the call on our lives. Jesus came to tell people the good news of God's kingdom and to be that good news. He came to tell the good news and to be the good news. He was motivated by compassion. He saw people and he loved them. He still sees people and loves them. He sees each one of us here this morning and loves us. He sees each person living in our communities, our families, our friends, our neighbours, and loves each one, has compassion on each and every single one. And he calls us in to be closer to him and then sends us out to be closer to others, to experience the good news for ourselves and then to share it, to tell others about it and to be the good news to those around us, to be part of the harvest and then to be the workers that bring the rest of the harvest in. Through this year, many of us have been praying for people we know to come to faith, the whole pray for five thing. If you weren't here at the beginning of the year and you'd like to start doing that, do. We've still got some of these pray for five cards at the back, which you can put the names on, which give you some ideas of what to pray for them. Some of us have been praying since the beginning of the year. Some of us have seen things shifting in the lives of those we have been praying for. Some of us haven't. I haven't particularly. But It seems to me that, if you like, the general temperature in prayer, this intent that we have of praying for people to come to faith, has been part of us seeing more people coming to faith and coming back to faith, where it's actually the exact people we're praying for or not. Do you see what I mean? So let's keep going. Let's persevere in it. Let's keep praying. We are seeing people come to faith. Let's pray for more. Over the next couple of months, we're going to have many opportunities to invite people to church for our Christmas services. We have our Christmas service postcards. Hooray! These are not primarily for you to stick on your fridge to remind you when the Christmas services are. What are these for? To hand out. To give to people to say, would you like to come to Carols by Candlelight with me? How easy is that? Loads of opportunities over the next couple of months to invite people to our Christmas services. Let's pray for opportunities to do so, and let's pray for the courage to take those opportunities when they come to us. Church. Church of All Saints. Will we continue to fan the flames, to be prepared for them to grow even hotter, to be ready to run and open the doors and welcome those that God is bringing in? It's time. It's time.